young people. I appreciate the parents that's brought their children, grandchildren. I appreciate that. That means a whole lot to me. I'm thankful you're here tonight. I realize tonight that there's other places and things you could be doing, but I'm thankful that you're here in the Lord's house, and appreciate that. Once again, we thank those that may be tuning in on Facebook, and do pray for us that the Lord might help us. Our thought tonight is fairly simple, I guess, don't bring anything new to you. But I thought a little bit this afternoon about this subject, and this is, we've thought a lot about it actually here in the last little bit. I know a lot of folks have asked about my accident and how it happened. And I want to go in just a little bit of detail about it. But I've got a point to bring forward to you. As God is able in any situation of our life to give us a perspective that maybe we didn't have before. And sometimes God allows us to go through some things that we may come out of it stronger with a different outlook and a different perspective that we didn't have. My mind oftentimes goes back to Job, and I love the story of Job. No doubt a man of many great sufferings. He couldn't understand his situation. He couldn't understand why he was going through these things. He had friends that would come to him and would talk to him and try to tell him, basically, there has to be some kind of sin in your life, Job, that's allowed this to come into play. And Job still, he wouldn't curse God, he wouldn't back up, he wouldn't do any of those things. And he'd say, no, you know, there's nothing there. And finally, we know there that the Lord spoke to him out of a whirlwind and basically said, Job, where was you when I created all this? And I'm paraphrasing, though, that's 40-something chapters there tonight, but I want you to understand, God was able to show him a perspective that he wasn't able to see before. And sometimes, as God's people, we have to go through some things. And I thought about that situation with me falling off of that barn at home, and I had wandered around for some time, and even after the accident, and I thought, boy, why couldn't I just been paying more attention? I want you to know, first of all, tonight, that God is no respecter of person. When I said earlier that I had a hard time understanding about my close friend, me and him was in each other's weddings. Like I said, had grew up together. It was hard for me to understand, even being a preacher of the gospel. Lord, why is it that it's his time? But God is no respecter of person. And it could have very well been my time when I fell off of that building. It could have very well been God saying, hey, your time is finished. See, that's the point of it being that none of us, oftentimes we take those things for granted, but none of us are promised a tomorrow. None of us are even promised the opportunity to walk through our door tonight at home. Anything could happen at any given moment. And there's really no telling how many times that God protects us throughout the day that we're even unaware of it. There's been many times I've left for work and been running a few minutes late, and if you know me very well, I can't stand to run late. I all the time, Jessica gets aggravated at me. Hurry up, honey, let's get the kids ready. Let's get on the road. Let's go. But you don't know how many times that maybe those few minutes that I was running late, hey, maybe God was in that. There may have very well been something going on that I was unawares of that He protected me from. We never realize when God is the center of our life how many times God is protecting us throughout the day. But sometimes it takes something really big happening in our lives for God to show us a perspective that we couldn't see before. So tonight I want to look into that just for a moment. I want to read some very familiar scripture, but I want to look over here in Matthew in the 22nd chapter. In the 34th verse. He said, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thine soul, and with all thine mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" And I want to stop there for a moment. And I realize most of us have heard that a large majority of our life. What you'd say are the two great commandments, that we are to love the Lord thy God, and that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. But I want you to know something this morning, or excuse me, tonight, that we are living in different times. Things that, I'll just be honest with you, I never really imagined. If you would have told me 15 years ago when I got my first cell phone that I could sit at home or sit in a restaurant and open it up and watch, turn on Netflix for a crying child so that it might be quiet, I would have said, I don't believe that. That's not realistic to me. If you would have told me that we would have internet access basically anywhere in the world at any given point, I would have thought that's a crazy statement. Even beyond that, we live in such a fast-paced life, and I was telling Jessica, I said, our boys will never realize the struggle of what it's like of going and getting off work or getting home from school on a Friday afternoon and trying to go rent a movie at the video store. They don't exist anymore. Things are changing all around us. But as I made a statement this morning, one thing that we must hold true to, one thing that must not change, is Jesus Christ. It must not change. It must hold true. And we must hold to the faith. Now, where is it that I'm going with this? Everything is changing all around us. I know that if I'm not careful, I get caught up in life. I get in a hurry. It's so easy to get wrapped up in everything that's going on all around us. We've got T-ball games, and we've got movies we want to watch, and we've got all of these things that, I've told people before, I'd just about rather farm as far as an occupation or anything I had to do with. I love farming. I love to food with cows. I just enjoy that. It's something I like to do. I like to ride on the tractor. I've had many a good talks with the Lord out fooling with hay and doing those things. That's something I enjoy. But I want you to know that when I fell off of that barn and I was sitting there at home and everything else, God just really spoke to me. He said, "Am I really number one in your life?" Now listen, I'm saying let's be honest with each other. He said, "Am I really the first love? Am I really number one in your life? Are you willing to forsake everything else?" Jesus said, "Take up the cross and follow me." He said, listen, be willing to forsake everything else. Now listen, the most wonderful thing about it is when Christ said, "Take up the cross," He never said that it was going to be easy. He never said that the cross wasn't going to get heavy. That was not a promise that He made. If the Son of God came into this world and had the struggles and the temptations and the very things that me and you face, my friend, it should not be any easier for me and you. He went through those things just like we do. He suffered all of those things. You'll remember he was led up to the mountain. He was tempted by the devil. Many times the Pharisees and Sadducees tried to entrap him in some ploy, something that they could come up with. Listen, he never promised us that it was going to be easy. But he said the first commandment, he said, is love the Lord thy God with thine heart and thy soul and thy mind. With everything that makes you up, love the Lord thy God. Basically, what that means, when it feels like the whole world is falling apart all around you, know that there's somebody there that you can lean and trust on. Know that Jesus is always there. Now listen. The point in being is we live in such an era of communication that, listen, I'm not saying the internet's bad. I'm not even saying Facebook's bad. Look at what it's able to do. It's able to reach thousands, millions maybe. But when it's used in the right context, we know that God said, listen, you be ashamed of me and I'll be ashamed of you. We have to be willing to forsake everything. That doesn't mean that God's going to require us to do it. But point being is, I told my wife there, and I said, honey, I said, I'm seriously considering selling my cows. Well, boy, you could have just knocked her flat off the couch. She said, you really are? I said, I'm considering it. I said, I don't want anything to get in my way. I'm telling you that there's things in our life that if we're not careful, that they can be an idol to us. They may not even be recognizable to us. There's a song that's sung, I can't even remember who sings it. Brother Marty Metter and his wife sings it sometimes, but it's called Abraham, and he talks about when I lay my Isaac down. But what that's talking about is, and boy, it's a beautiful picture because I had never seen it that way. But what it's talking about is Abraham taking Isaac, and the Lord had told him to take him up the mountain there, and as he was taking him up the mountain, it was all getting Abraham in preparation and ready to serve God. Lord, Abraham, are you going to be willing to give up your only son Isaac? And we know it's a beautiful picture of Christ there. But God wanted to know if Abraham was willing to lay his Isaac down. We know that Abraham was old and well stricken in age. I believe he was 99 years old when the Lord told him he was going to have Isaac. Well, we know that God had told him that he was going to have a son. And here it was that God was saying that he was to go up this mountain here with his only son that God had promised him. And yet he was fixing to take him and make him a sacrifice unto the Lord. And yet Abraham told Isaac, he said, God will provide a sacrifice. He had to be willing to forsake all things. Now, I don't mean that literally. We know the Lord wouldn't have asked him to do that. But that was a picture. God wanted to know just exactly where Abraham stood. Just exactly where Abraham stood. If we're not careful, and I'm talking about me. So you want to ask me, preacher, what perspective have you taken away from that accident? Boy, I tell you what, I've taken away many things. That there's still good people in the world. The world, even though it's full of darkness, there's still a light that's shining out. We're the light. I try to be an optimist. I try to see the good in everything. I want God's people to prosper. I want His church to be revived. I want lost people to be saved. And listen, even though I believe the Lord could come back at any moment, I'm about like Abraham over there when he said, Lord, if there be any righteous, I'm ready to go home and be with him anytime he calls. But now I tell you, there's still lost people that need to be saved. And honey, if there's any still righteous, I'm hoping he gives us a little bit longer. Shows us mercy. It's not His will that any should perish. Now listen. It's so easy in a fast-paced life to put so much before God. I realize that. I'm an example of that. I've done that before. But then there's times in our life that God has the capabilities of bringing us back down on His level. And He says, you know where all these blessings come from that you've received? They come from Me. I'm just going to tell you. When you sit back down and you look out, I've got them three little boys running around there. God's able to use that and show you a different perspective that you couldn't see before. There's sometimes, boy, we've just got to slow down just a little bit and say, God, You're still in control. You're still on the throne. Are we willing to put Him first? And I'm talking about that real love. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. With all thine heart, and with all thine soul, and with all thine mind. He said, the second is likened to it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now my Bible teaches me where much is given, much is required. And I'm going to tell you something. God's been good to me, and He's given me a whole lot. So that means also that there's much required of me. I remember people asking me years ago, I'd have friends that would ask me about preaching, and I thought, boy, I preach out of fear. It's not quite that way anymore. I preach out of love because I love God's people and I want to see people saved. But most importantly, I'll never be able to repay Him for everything He's done in my life. Never. Never. I could preach every moment of every day and could never repay Him for saving me. Never. Let alone protecting the health and well-being of my family. Giving us a roof and things over our head, there's never enough that I could ever do for Him. Never. He said, the second commandment is love thy neighbor as thyself. Like I said before, if God had showed me anything else through that, is that people are still good. God's people still want to help. There was such an outpouring of love that came in that we couldn't even imagine. I mean, it just set me back. I'm talking about me and Jessica would just sit there and just like, look how big God is. Look at what God can do. Isn't this amazing what God is able to do? Here we was worried and concerned and all of these things. Didn't know what the future held. We just didn't know what was going to happen. And then God said, look at me and look how big I am. And look what I can do. That's how amazing God is. And then all you can sit back and just think, wow. And He just shows you a new perspective on everything else. Sometimes God allows us to go through some things that we may grow and that we may strengthen. Listen, there's no doubt in my mind that Job come out through his situation a whole lot stronger than he ever entered in. And he was always, the Bible said in the first chapter, he said that Job was a perfect and upright man. That word perfect meant mature, but he was a good godly man. Listen, I want to say this. Sometimes, a friend of mine, we were talking about this. Sometimes I feel like we get a little comfortable. And boy, I'm guilty of that. I was guilty of that. Had gotten comfortable. Here's what the Lord said. It said, and it came to pass as they went in their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds have of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go and thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When I think about this and I think about getting comfortable, I remember when I first come out of that accident. I remember Jessica having to help me with every aspect of everything. I laid there and had them big old bulky cast on my hands, and I'd just toss and turn at nighttime for hours. Most of the time during the day, I'd do all right. There was something going on. I could keep my mind off of it. But in the nighttime, the pain would set in, and I would just toss and turn all night long. And the first couple of nights was long. But then there come a peace about it one night. I was laying there in bed. She was trying to sleep, tending to three boys and me. And I just started to talk with the Lord. And boy, me and him had some of the blessed moments that you could ever imagine. Me just laying there, eyes wide open, laying in bed, and thank God that we had them. No, I wished I wouldn't have had to go through some of the things I went through, but boy, I'm telling you, I've took a new perspective away from things I've been through. No matter, point being, no matter what we go through, Jesus said, listen, he said, the foxes have holes and the birds have their nests. He said, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Listen, I'm worried to death about being comfortable and having enough pillows stacked up under my arm. And I'm telling you, the Savior of the world didn't have anything. And here I was worried to death about little old me. That's when he come in the stillness and the peace of the night. And he began to talk to me. He began to work on my heart just a little bit. And he showed me a new perspective. Listen, most of all, point being, is if we're all honest with ourselves, God has been far greater to us than what we deserve. And he asked, for the most part, very little of us. Oh, when we come into his house, or when we're at home, or whether children, or whatever it may be, it's our responsibility to serve him, to put him first in our life. No matter what else comes about, no matter what else kind of order you may have, Jesus comes first in our life. He comes number one. Then he said, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Boy, I tell you what, sometimes, like I said, in this world that we live in, we get caught up and wrapped up in it. It's hard to do that. But folks, let's not ask ourselves who our neighbor is. Our neighbor can be anybody. We're to love them, help them the best way that we can. I want to say this, and I'm going to close. I've thought this, and this scripture has been on my heart this afternoon. I want to read this, and it may not, I don't know, it may not even go with it, I don't know. But this is what the Lord put on their heart, and I want to read it. Fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. Fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. He said, but the hour, in the 23rd verse, he said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And folks, when we begin to truly allow God to shape and mold our lives. You know, when Isaiah says over there, it's towards the end of the chapter. I want to think it's like the 62nd or 64th chapter of Isaiah. I'm not for sure. But he talks about that he's the potter and we're the clay. I'm going to tell you, it's not easy allowing God to shape you and mold you into something that he can use. It's not easy doing that. But if you want to have a real relationship with God, if you want to know what it's like to walk beside of him, we sing a song sometimes that says, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Listen, you want to know what it's like to have that relationship, to lean and trust on him for every aspect of your life, for him to be the number one in your life. We've got to be willing to do that. Listen, those things start at home and those perspectives in our life. And then we can bring them into God's house. And then God can do great, mighty works. Listen, I said before this morning, I can't do nothing on my own. I can't. But through the power of God, all things are possible. All things are possible. So tonight, that would be our prayer, that we would lay our focus and our heart upon what God would have for us. That we would make him number one in our life. And maybe y'all are already saying, well, Brother Casey, you're playing catch up because he already is number one in our life. And maybe I am. And boy, there's times that I thought he was. But I know in my heart that I've put things before him. I know I have. I think that's human nature. I think that's why the children of Israel had so much trouble, because they kept putting things before God all the time. Folks, we're humans. That's what we do. But you know what? I'm going to close here. You know what the Apostle Paul said? Basically, in layman terms, he said, I must crucify the flesh daily. Every day. Every day I wake up. Crucify the flesh. Lay this old flesh down. Lord, take me and use me one more time, one more day. Help me, Lord. That's our message tonight. I hope it's a help to you. I hope maybe you got something out of it. Lost person, I'd love to encourage you. I want to say this. If you're here tonight and lost, I want to see you saved. Like I said before, God is no respecter of person. And I realize tonight, just like I mean, when I think about my friend, Heath, I want to honor him. He's a good man. He's still just a man. But I never would have imagined the accident that he had. And him passing away. Never would have imagined. Just didn't imagine it. It wasn't even a thought that crossed my mind. And to be honest with you, I don't think it was a thought that crossed his mind. When I fell out of that building, out of that barn, you know how fast it happened? Just at the snap of a finger. I've had people ask me, well, Brother Casey, how did it happen? I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't know if I lost my footing. I don't know if I slipped. I don't know. But it happened so fast that I was on the ground before I knew it. That's how fast that it can happen. That's how serious that it really is. My friend Heath, I believe, like I said before, is in heaven right now. Lost friend, if you were to die in your condition, if you was to die lost and separated from him, you would go to hell. And I know sometimes that's hard to hear, but folks, that's the truth of it. Just as it was when I told y'all this morning, when I was lost and separated, I knew that if I died in that shape, hell was going to be where I would go. Listen, that's how serious it is. Maybe we can have a song. Is there a word or something on someone's heart? Anything. Anything at all.